We are proud to announce 2019 Palisade Global Hard Asset Conference, taking place on Jekyll Island from May 16th to May 20th. Speakers confirmed include legendary mining investor Paul Matysek, former hedge fund manager Mike Alkin, and resource managing partner Matt Geiger, plus many more to be announced. Sign up now for more details and to be included in our special guest list. Join us in Jekyll Island to become part of a growing number of investors who are ready to take advantage of a coming resource boom. Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. I'm your guest host, Karem Mutlu, and on today's show, we have CEO and founder of Wealth Research Group, Lior Gantz. Lior, let's get your current thoughts on the junior mining sector. Do you feel we are perhaps at the beginning stages of a similar situation that occurred at the start of 2016? Is there a big upside push for gold and silver stocks on the horizon?
It's the situation is getting better overall. So, for example, Wealth Research Group, the newsletter that that I run, we profiled our number one gold company for 2018 on January 2nd. And the company went up 43% on day one, and then about 6% on day two. And today, as we're doing this interview, it's up. So it's up about 50% in total in 3 days. And that is because of a rebound. The gold and silver stocks have been hammered so badly for 2 years. Just figure this, Karem. In September, an overwhelming amount of mining stocks hit 52-week lows or all-time lows this September, right when gold hit 1,176, which was its low. And then we published, I believe, four or five separate articles about how bad the sentiment is, that it has never been this horrible since 1991. So it was very likely to reverse. Then you couple that with the fact that Q4 for stocks has been just horrible. And then, you know, on top of that, obviously the reprogramming or the readjustments of rate hikes from four hikes in 2019 to two to maybe zero. So all of this is playing right into gold because the core CPI numbers in the U.S. are about 2.1. The 10-year bond is about 2.5. So we're not at negative real interest rates yet, but we are getting very close because 20 states have just announced that they're going to raise their minimum wage to between $12 and $15 an hour in 2019. And you can bet that any cost that these companies are going to have, they're going to pass on to the consumer. So inflation is definitely on the rise in 2019. If you study inflation and you see what creates inflation, wages are probably on the top two things that create general inflation in the economy. And that's because the wealthy buy everything that they want regardless of economic conditions. They have enough money to not care about that. But the blue collar, the workers or the lower income, when they receive wage increases, they go out and spend, and that creates money velocity, and that creates a lot of spending. And in an economy like the U.S., where 72% is based on consumption, that creates a similar situation to what we saw, you know, in similar situations in the past. I want to remind you, Karem, that 1969 was the last year that the dollar was the best performing asset in the world for a calendar year. And that just happened again in 2018, where it beat bonds, it beat stocks, it beat everything else. And 2 years after that happened, we saw the Nixon shock. So the fact that the U.S. dollar just had its best performing year since 1969 is very indicative that it's going to have a very severe bear market in the years ahead. And I could talk about why that is. But, you know, going back to what you asked originally, for mining shares to really catch a bid, there needs to be three things that are happening. Interest rates need to be trending lower. I mean real interest rates, and they are. So because inflation is rising, real interest rates are trading lower, are moving back to zero or negative. The second thing is you need a very unfavorable environment for stocks and bonds, which there is. And thirdly, you need some sort of a geopolitical event, which obviously with trade wars there is. So you got all three things happening, and then you couple that with the initial underlying thing for all commodities, which is a weak dollar, and you have the recipe right there. So we need to have some more confirmation, but there's definitely the feeling that mining stocks can have a strong bounce, and that's all they need really, because they're very cheap as a group. And there are some in there that are real bargains. If you we're going to announce another big pick very shortly here on our free newsletter, Wealth Research Group. And if you want to check out the most detailed and comprehensive report we ever put out on the gold industry, you can go to wealthresearchgroup.com/gold playbook, and you'll be able to find, you know, everything you need to know about this bull market ahead.
Very good. Thanks for sharing that, Lior. Let's move on to silver. The recent price action in silver is now starting to give investors a sense that this long consolidation period in the silver price might now be over. What price targets are you looking for? And if silver continues to rise in 2019, how dramatic will the price rise be?
So there's a big difference between gold and silver. Gold has almost no industrial utilities, and it almost has no uses. It's used obviously as jewelry, a little bit as an electrical catalyst, but most of the price action for gold is determined by investment demand, because there is no problem with finding gold. All the gold that has ever been mined is out there above ground, as opposed to silver, which is an industrial metal in the 20th century. So its cost, or its spot price, usually trades around its mining cost without any premium for it being a precious metal or a monetary metal, except for periods where the investment demand for it goes up, and then it decouples and has a huge premium above its mining cost. You saw that between 2009 and 2011, where it went up about 300% or more, from about $9 to the high 40s at the end of it. And you saw that obviously in the 1970s and several other periods between 2000 and 2008, for example. So when it catches a real speculative bid, it decouples from mining cost. And then it goes on these rallies that get it to about 50 to 1 to 40 to 1 with gold. Right now we're trading at about 80 to 1 with gold. And that's a very rare occurrence. And it happened three times before in this millennium, in this century. Every time that has happened, it has started to close the gap towards 65 to 1 or 50 to 1 on the extreme end. And whenever that happens, there's a huge bid for mining stocks. So, you know, if you want to look at the natural scenario for this, silver outpaces gold. And when that happened, there's a big bid for mining shares, and they outperform both gold and silver. So if you're asking me which will do better in the coming year and in the years ahead, the probability is that silver will outperform gold, because it reached that extreme of 80 to 1 and it needs to close the gap. So that's an important factor to remember. But, you know, in normal days, you would see silver trading right around that industrial cost. Or production costs, you know, with just a little premium on top, obviously, so the miners can make money. But it's very important to remember that if it catches fire, silver is one of the most explosive commodities on the planet in terms of upside. So, you know, that's the bottom line for it. And can it catch a bid right now? I mean, it's up about 12% since mid-November, when it bottomed at $13.95. It's now almost $16, and we can definitely see it trading much higher. It's a very, very small market, and when there's investment demand for it, it's just very explosive, very volatile to the upside, very violent. But look, the bear market has been so horrible that you need to know how to manage your portfolio of precious metals in a bear market if you want to succeed in a bull market. Otherwise, you won't be there for the bull market. So I created a report for your listeners because I know it's a very sophisticated show. If you go to wealthresearchgroup.com/bear, you can actually access the 11 strategies that I use for bear markets in order to prepare and control the downside and be ready for the upside.
Another sector that contrarian investors have been watching carefully is uranium. With the spot price gradually increasing upwards throughout 2018, how does the uranium sector currently look to you? Do you believe that a new bull market is now beginning?
Well, uranium is a very unique sector. And as long as oil prices stay at these prices, there's little incentive in terms of price to for countries to move to nuclear energy. But if you look at other factors that don't have to do with price alone, there is a very important political backdrop to have uranium or nuclear energy as a main source for many countries. You take China, for example, or any other country that's a huge developed country, it doesn't want to rely on outside sources for energy. So China doesn't have oil. It needs to import oil in order to meet the demands of 1.4 billion people. And therefore, for it, it needs energy independence. The U.S. imports 90% of its uranium. So for the U.S. to continue to go on that trend of nationalism and protecting its borders like this current administration is doing, and if they get reelected, obviously, for four additional years, they need uranium independence. And in the U.S. right now, there's literally very few active mines. In fact, the entire uranium industry is about 400 people. One of my good friends founded and runs the best uranium company in the U.S., and he actually has the former energy secretary on their board. So I can tell you from very close sources that this industry is due for a huge turnaround. But before the price, the spot price of uranium hits about 40, it's just not realistic for a real turnaround in the sector. So, judge the $40 area as a base for getting into the sector, because below that, companies are just not profitable, and their value is not there. There's alternative investments that are much more profitable to uranium. But obviously, looking at the big picture for uranium, the upside is much bigger than the downside.
Very good. As a final question, Lior, what advice would you give investors for 2019 in regard specifically to gold? Will turmoil in other markets turn the average investor's attention back onto gold? What are your thoughts?
I think people have a tremendous amount of misconceptions about gold. If you go to the richest person or the richest investor on the planet, Warren Buffett, he hates gold. If you look at one of the third and fourth best investors in the world, Ray Dalio, who's worth $21 billion, he loves gold, and saying that Warren Buffett is making a big mistake by disregarding gold. If you look at history, the past 18 years, gold has outperformed the S&P 500 by a factor of 3 to 1. So the S&P 500 since January 1st, 2000 is up about 70%, and gold is up about 350%. So it beat it 5 times to 1. There are times when owning gold is very lucrative in terms of an investment, and there are times when owning gold is very lucrative in terms of speculation, and in all other times, it's important to own gold as part of your hedge portfolio. So personally, for me, I have about 5% of my total net worth in physical gold and silver, and they're all stored in vaults throughout the U.S., Canada, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Europe. And that's it. I just pay my storage fees and I'm done with it. I don't think about it. When my net worth increases, I buy more to always have 5%. Now, in times of when the catalysts are there, then I go ahead and increase my exposure to precious metals or to commodities in general when the backdrop for that is there. I think, you know, looking at 2011 to 20 to the end of 2015, we saw gold going down from 1900 to 1153 at the bottom. That was exactly 3 years ago, Karim, in December of 2015, when we founded Wealth Research Group as as a free financial newsletter, because we knew that the tightening cycle that just begun will change everything for precious metals, for stocks, for the economy, because tightening cycles always lead to recessions. And that's why we formed Wealth Research Group, the newsletter, in order to keep people informed as the recovery was ending and we were getting into an overheated economy and then a recession, which I believe will happen during either 2019 or the beginning of 2020. So in this kind of environment where there's a recession, there's a huge demand for gold. We know that central banks are net buyers of gold in the last few years. And obviously, we know that the rising power in the world, the country that will have the largest GDP in the world in 7 years, eclipsing that of the U.S., and having the largest military in about 20 years, eclipsing that of the U.S., is China. And that is a country that is historically, it centers around gold. It centers around precious metals. Except for tea being a very important commodity in ancient China, gold and silver, until present day, are very important in the Asian cultures. And, you know, with 1.4 billion people in China and 1.4 billion people in India, both of them together being a third of the world's population, very gold-fascinated countries, the theme for gold in the 21st century is very lucrative, obviously with the huge backdrop that that all countries, all developed countries, all Western countries are effectively bankrupt, and they're just not insolvent because they're able to print currency and have it accepted by other countries. So they have a bid for their currencies, but in general, this is an economy, a global economy based on debt. And at some point, there's going to be a debt reset. It doesn't have to be an event that wipes out everything that we know about the world, but it will be very disturbing and disruptive. So you have to own precious metals as part of your portfolio. And look, even Warren Buffett, even if Berkshire Hathaway didn't invest in gold and silver, they should have taken some of that cash hoard that they have, which is about $100 billion. They should have had some of it in gold, just as a cash alternative, and their shareholders would be much better off than owning dollars for the past 18 years. That's obviously. Everybody knows that, because gold was 250 an ounce and now it's about 1300. So, even the great Warren Buffett got it wrong with gold. And people love gold like they love no other commodity, like they love no other mineral or natural resource. But, if you look at the underlying reason to own gold and silver, Karim, it is because there are very reckless decisions being made in politics and in central banking, because you can't keep running $1.3 billion annual deficits and pay $1.5 billion a day in interest payments as a country and keep on paying your retirees and keep paying for defense and everything else. It's just it doesn't work. There's an end to that rope at some point. And obviously, the rise of China is going to speed up the end of the dollar era.
As we wrap up the show, Lior, is there anything else you'd like to discuss? Anything on your mind?
Well, it's important to understand that in 2019 and 2020, until this recession plays out, there's going to be a lot of pressure on stocks. And if you're not a stock picker, then you really need to consider the fact that in order to generate profits in today's world, you need the right sort of asset allocation, proper diversification, and not to have a concentrated portfolio in the indices. In other words, just buying the S&P 500 will not be the thing to do, or buying just the NASDAQ and such, because there will be, out of the 500 components in the S&P 500, there will be more laggers than companies advancing. And that's important to understand. So this is not a regular bull market where you can just buy an index and do well. You need to be either a stock picker or a person that has a great level of sophisticated diversification, even to outside of the stock market. So real estate, private lending, and obviously precious metals, options. It depends on your expertise level, and obviously cash being a great hedge as well. Because when you own cash, even if there's a 3 or 4% inflation, if stocks are going down 20% a year and you're losing just 3%, then obviously you are getting alpha as compared to the markets.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time today, Lior, and we'll have you back on the show again very soon.
Okay, Kieran. Thank you very much.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?